Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast, this time with two Scottish people.
So Jothie doesn't count?
Well, yeah, I suppose he must. Do you realise how many Scottish people are now in the world, either historically or currently in like podcasting, YouTubing?
Like Brian Duffy?
We live in Scotland. Yeah. What's Brian up to, do you think?
Well, he's planning on opening his jobs up at the end of June, he was saying.
Is he? Mm-hmm. Who's he saying that?
Oh, he said that in the Watchinista Instagram Live.
Oh, right. Okay, so Brian Duffy is the...
Watches of Switzerland guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if he's the chairman. I'm not thinking what his title is. Managing director, chairman. Also used to be a board member of Celtic Football Club.
Back when you were.
There we go. That's back where I was, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so he thinks that Watches of Switzerland will be open June-ish time.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Well, that's interesting.
Isn't it?
I would be interested to know just what's happening there, because you've got a company that just before this all happened was either saying, or the analyst noted, that 60% of their sales were dependent on Rolex. And Rolex
doesn't sell online.
Their ADs to sell online.
Nope.
So not only is all of his stores, I don't know, he must have 200 plus stores here in the States. Was it Mayors they bought in the States? Can't remember who it was. Somebody they bought in the States as well.
Yeah.
So they're all closed. I assume that they don't own a lot of their properties. They'll own some of their own property, but not a lot of it, I suspect. I've never looked to see what their accounts say, but they're in shopping centres and bits and pieces.
Anyway.
They don't necessarily own those properties.
Anyway.
So they've got some big overheads and no money coming in, whereas at least the James Porters of this world and others, the family businesses, are still selling online because... They're not all tied up with Rolex.
Well, the news as well that we got when we were recording another show that isn't out yet is that obviously Rolex, Tudor, Patek have all said that they're not doing any releases this year. Everything is getting held back to next year. So
yes, have we not put that show out? Was that not the show with Cole from Hodinkee?
Was that? I'm sure it was an Ariel Adams show.
No, I don't think it was. I don't think it was that relevant, speaking to Ariel.
No.
Maybe it was.
I can't remember. It's all blending
all
together.
All these famous people we speak to.
And then Jody.
And then Jody. We really have managed to pull the wool over everybody's eyes.
What, the fact that we've got the guys from Hodinkee and the guys from A Blog to Watch, like, as best buds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we've got 10 listeners... And we've managed to make, it's like that thing on, here's a pop culture. Welcome to the Scottish Watches. Picard, when they do that thing with the wee doodah that makes it look like there's millions of them. That's what we're like. We've got
Hall of Mirrors, like in the Bond movie, or Scaramanga.
Like the Bond
movies. It's got all the mirrors and shit everywhere.
Yeah.
That was a quick bringing Bond in, wasn't it?
That was quite a scary bit in that film.
Mm. I remember I did a marathon of Bond movies. And I didn't get all the way through because I hit the shady Roger Moore ones and just gave up. But I remember that one.
Oh, I like the Roger Moore ones.
Yeah.
Moonraker. Yeah. Moonraker's a great film.
Yeah. Well, let's get some watch content flung in. Did you see the new Omega release for the commemorative edition of 50 years of the Apollo 13?
Now, there's an interesting question. No, I did not.
Oh, you should see it. It is.
Is it great?
It's non-existent.
Describe it to me.
It looks invisible. And the photons of light from behind it project all the way through it because it doesn't exist. They missed a trick.
Yeah. Listen, somebody at Omega's, maybe they're busy scratching off Tokyo 2020.
Tipex.
And trying to make Tokyo 2020 look like it says Apollo 13.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way you could take those letters and rearrange them somehow? Maybe they'll just do is it Invicta? Who is it that takes the little plaques and just fastens them to the side of their watches? That's Invicta, isn't it?
Omega did that with their Bond watch.
Well, maybe that's what they need to do. Maybe they just need to get some of those plates and just a couple of hot rivets on the back case of the Tokyo 2020 and we'll just turn them into Apollo 13 watches.
Yeah. But isn't it strange? I mean, would they not have heard something in the last couple of months? Because when we went to the Omega boutique launch in Glasgow, we cornered the CEO. Is that what they call him in the UK? Was it CEO or MD? Whatever they call him in the UK. The head honcho.
I think he was CEO. I think, yeah,
Andre. So when I was busy showing him my amazing strap and having a good old chin wag and some wrist shots, I hit him up and said, so what are you guys doing for Apollo 13? Because that's kind of the big last 50th anniversary for your NASA stuff. Oh, really can't talk about that just now. So we've not heard anything, even like March or before the shit hit the fan. We have not heard anything getting announced or dropped. So what's going on?
Well,
made a movie out of it, Tom Hanks.
You know what the problem could be?
What's that?
We could we're recording this on a Monday, and this episode will either go out Friday or Monday.
People said that Tuesday thing. No, we won't.
And they might launch it tomorrow.
Yeah, but then they're launching it late.
Well, maybe they'll launch it for the arrival back of Apollo. What day of the week did it come home?
It was, right, Apollo 13 launched on the 11th of April, 1970.
So it launched today?
No, this is the 13th, Rick.
You said the 13th?
No.
What did you say?
11th.
Okay.
Apollo 13 launched on the 11th of April.
Listen, I know I'm colourblind and deaf, but I genuinely thought you said that Apollo 13 launched on the 13th. Anyway, so it launched on the 11th.
And it landed on the 17th. I don't know. Probably before the 17th, because that's the landing date.
Well, I think it all went pear-shaped and they got home. So would it actually make more sense for Omega to celebrate it arriving home successfully than it launching unsuccessfully?
Omega would be releasing editions for when it launched, when they ran into shit, when it landed on the moon, and when it got back home. It would be a collector's edition box, the size of a coffin.
box. You actually the size of an actual moon lander.
Yes. So they have missed a trick, and I saw this popping up all over, obviously, because, you know, I check all the different websites for things, and it was commemorating that, it was talking about the film. It was actually quite a good film, and there was not a peep.
It was a good film.
Then I went onto the Omega Instagram page looking for anything, and all they had was a link to their website that talks about, you know, the launch, the landing, the problems, and a little commemorative clip. So I put on our Instagram, you know, happy 50th, Apollo 13, and a couple of people replied and said, well, it'd be in bad taste if Omega was to do a sort of limited edition watch on that. And I reminded them in 1995, Omega did.
But I'm maybe misremembering this, but is the whole Snoopy thing not based on Apollo 13?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that too.
So the whole idea of the Snoopy watch was Snoopy not the
It's the mascot for Apollo, going above and beyond or something.
Apollo. Yeah, but was it not specifically the mascot for Apollo 13?
No, I think it's all Apollo missions if you've done good.
It's all Apollo missions, right, okay. So if only we knew someone that knew a bit about Omega. If only we knew like a Scottish person that knew something about Omega, we could like phone them.
Somebody that was a bit sharp, maybe.
Somebody that was sharp and somebody that was probably going stir crazy sitting in his house surrounded by all his Omega boxes.
Yeah. I wonder what it's like to be in Floatlight's house. I wonder if it sounds like the start of Back to the Future, where all the clocks are ticking. If he's got all these Swatch watches there, then probably.
You know how, like, during lockdown, I don't know if you've noticed this, your mind kind of wanders because there's a bit more time.
Does it wander off to think if Bill Gates is trying to put microchips in everybody's vaccines?
Is that the latest?
That's the latest one.
Don't you love anti-vaxxers and how the tide has somewhat turned because they will all be the first in the queue when a vaccine finally comes out?
See, that's them. They're caught in a moral dilemma of, right, we've said so much
shit.
Well,
it's not a moral one.
they're caught in a dilemma of, we've said so much shit, but people are actually dying because people are actually knowing folks that are ill and dying instead of thinking it's all mass media hype. Because I know four people, personal friends, who have been in deep shit because of this. And the anti-vaxxers must be sitting going, oh shit, what do we do here? Are we going to die? Are we going to let our kids die? Are we going to inject ourselves with autism? It's a real tricky one. So
it's just bonkers. But anyway, so someone's saying that Bill Gates is microchipping everybody.
This is the Scottish Watches Conspiracy Theory Corner, right? So the latest ones are,
So we've got Scottish Watches, we've got Scottish Watches for the TV, we've got Scottish Watches Weight Watches for fitness advice, and we've got Scottish Watches
Silver Screen for the movie part.
No, that's Scottish Watches.
No, that's just TV.
Oh, right, okay. I was thinking Scottish Watches Watchman.
Possibly. Like, Scottish Watches Tinfoil Division. So latest ones are, I have left all these 5G groups because it was too much. I really didn't want to be a part of the human race any longer. So I left them all, unsubscribed. Anyone that mentions anything to do with it, I unfriend instantly on Facebook. So guys, if you want me to unfriend you, that's how to go about it. But the latest thing was, did I speak about the David Icke video that Ofcom pulled?
No, I think somebody had a chat about that. But
was it me?
It was us.
On the show? I can't remember. Guys, listen, see if you've heard this before. I apologise. I am going stir crazy. I lost a full week. I went out yesterday to the shops and thought, why am I seeing newspapers for Sunday? Was it not Sunday yesterday?
You will notice in this show that Ricky is talking slightly faster than he normally does. and slightly more than Norma does, because he is actually now lacking human interaction, and all he gets is me. So
well, Jodie,
he is genuinely going stir crazy.
Oh, it's bad.
Some of the text message exchanges we've had recently, where clearly you are simply not compos mentis. You have no idea what is going on.
Well, I'm glad I'm finally achieving your level of sanity.
Well, it means that at least I understand it, because you know it's reflecting myself.
Anyway, meanwhile, so conspiracy theories of the moment. The latest one has been that Bill Gates created the coronavirus and the vaccine for it and patented it years ago and made a TED talk on it and smiled when he said that people are going to die and the population's going to decrease by 15%, because when he puts his vaccine out, everyone's going to have to get it or they won't be allowed outside their house, and inside the vaccine are going to be nanobot chips that will track you when you leave your house. That's the latest.
I don't have a problem with that. I like Bill Gates. I'm happy for him to know
that. I like that too, because it's like if you lose somebody and you don't know where your son or your daughter or your girlfriend is, you can do Find My Partner and the little nanobots will kind of kick in and tell you where they are on Google Maps. It'd be great.
Or even better, if you want to avoid them, you know where they are and therefore where you need to be.
Indeed. Sounds good to me. So that's the latest crazy. And if I've not mentioned the David Icke video, London Real did a 2.5 hour interview with David Icke, as they've done previously. And
yes,
he's the guy that said in the 90s, wearing a shell suit, that he was the son of God, and has more recently said that the Queen and the royal family are all lizards. And the reason we can't really see what they really look like is because of Wi-Fi signals are kind of distorting our vision field. So he's a cool guy, and he's been talking about 5G conspiracies and all the rest of it. And the host of London Real pushed him down an avenue where he basically insinuated roughly that if people were to go out and set fire to mobile phone masts, then that's absolutely fine and you can do what you like. So Ofcom stepped in, stomped on it, pulled the video, guy from London Real jumps onto YouTube, tells everyone he's been persecuted, gets all these morons following him, subscribing, donating, Patreon, live chat money, all the rest of it. He's having a grand old time, and all the conspiracy theory people in Britain are going bonkers over this kind of shit. And then at the weekend, lots more masts went on fire. So we're having a great time here, Rick. How are you?
Yeah, can you explain London Real to me? He keeps on popping up on my YouTube channel. I've never really watched any of this stuff. Is it a serious... Is this like a kind of...
It's a guy called Brian Rose, and he used to take a lot of heroin, and he's admitted this. He's admitted it. Probably explains quite a lot of things. But he's had a lot of really good guests on in the past. He's had people like Tim Ferriss. He's had Dorian Yates. And he's a David Icke, so he's all around the house with different folks. David Icke's been on maybe 3, 4, 5 times, doing his usual nutty best, but people didn't really care.
Right,
but the fact everyone's locked up now, they're believing it because there's grains of truth that he weaves into his story that makes you kind of believe the rest of it if you're a bit thick. Uh-huh. But London Real is just a YouTube channel that had a fair amount, maybe 1.2 million subscribers a couple of weeks ago. Now up at 1.8 million subscribers because of all the shit that's hit the fan recently. And he has manipulated the shit out of it to the point where probably he muted his own videos on YouTube. He probably deleted his own LinkedIn that he's claiming Big Brother has deleted today. And he's putting these videos up every single day saying, wow, man, this last week has been crazy. Inciting shit from people. So there you go.
Does he sound like the kind of guy I would get along with?
Up until a couple of weeks ago, probably. Now, you'd probably want to stick the head in him.
Okay, that's fine.
So, anyway, watches.
That's basically my two categories. Go for a drink, stick the head in them.
Stick the head in them. So, there we go.
It's a bit of a black and white policy.
It is indeed. But I'm sure we're really here to talk about some watchy stuff.
We are.
But before we do that, Stirling Moss.
Oh, yes. Stirling Moss passed away.
He did indeed, which is a bit of a shame.
Particularly for Stirling Moss, yes.
Well, he probably doesn't care about it.
Yeah, I don't know whether... I don't think it was reported. I think he'd been ill for quite a while. I don't think this was a coronavirus thing, although that may have contributed, I suppose, if he was in hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, great racing driver. I mean, you watch some of the races these guys were in back in the day. I was once at a dinner sitting with Jackie Stewart, and some of the stuff that... You watch some of these videos... Jackie Stewart's really wee, by the way. He's really short, which probably makes a good racing driver back in the day because your bum would be closer to the ground, your centre of gravity. But, I mean, it's just nuts. There was nothing to these cars at all. I think at various stages, the mortality rate was... You were less likely to die being part of Bomber Command in the Second World War than you were driving a Formula One car. It was something ridiculous. You know, there was like a 1 in 10 chance every year you'd die. Somebody will correct me in these stats if I'm wildly wrong, but it was something incredible. You were literally taking your life in your hands every time you went out to race back in the day, and he was one of the best and went on for a really long time racing in all sorts of circuits. So, great guy. I don't think I ever met Stirling Moss. I don't think I did. Because I know a couple of racing drivers of that vintage. I certainly know folk that raced him. I know one guy quite well who races, whose claim to fame is that he beat both Jackie Stewart and I think Stirling Moss in a kind of hill climb race somewhere back in yonder day. And he's in his 90s, so a similar vintage.
Yeah, all these legends are getting on in life. We're getting past it now, but yeah, it was a bit of a shame to see that one.
Timbrook Taylor died. That's more shocking. Timbrook Taylor. Blimey. You don't even know who Timbrook Taylor is, do you?
Paedophile?
No. Timbrook Taylor, like one of the funniest guys ever.
The Goodies or something?
Goodies. He was one of the members of the Goodies, and he co-wrote probably one of the most famous Monty Python sketches, which is The Four Yorkshiremen. Which now just gives me an excuse to put the Four Yorkshiremen sketch into the show notes.
Was that a cough, right?
Excuse me. That was a cough, the first signs.
Oh.
See, I'm increasingly concerned that they're going to trace all of this back, and it's going to trace right back to me and the cough that I had in early September, August, September. It just didn't go away for months. And then I travelled quite extensively, particularly to ski resorts that were then involved.
Yes.
And, you know, met a few Chinese. You know, I am concerned that this is going to trace back to an Ayrshire farm and, you know, whatever.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put in...
Bats in the loft.
Cool. Well, I'm going to put in a little bit of a... I don't know. Shall I put in some watch content here?
Yeah, go for it.
Right. I got some news through that a watch that's actually quite decent... It's the Tissot PR100 Automatic, which is a watch that's been out for a while. Fairly inexpensive at just about $500. But you can get that for £360 brand new and delivered from Goldsmiths. They are doing a promotion on it, so it's about 25-27% off list.
Okay.
So if you're looking...
So what watch is this? A Tissot?
Tissot PR100. It is stainless steel... stainless steel bracelet, 39mm with a nice, it's actually a really nice blue dial with a date complication down at the 6 o'clock marker. Sapphire crystal, 100 metres water resistant, 2-year guarantee, yada yada. Quite a nice little piece. So have a wee look and check that out. And we're getting a lot of messages and communication with the people we know in the industry. And because some of these stores that we deal with, especially in the Argyll Arcade, James Porter & Son, etc., they're able to still facilitate online sales. Quite a few of them are doing some special offers, I believe. James Porter & Son are actually doing an offer at the moment. So if you go into their Instagram page and have a look, I believe they have got a discount running. So if you're looking for a little pick-me-up, go check that out. And dealers, ADs, sellers, etc., if you've got something on the go, then get in touch with us because we'll try and collate some information and see if we can get that out to the masses that listen to the show, visit our website, etc., etc.
And I did happen to bump into Simon from James Porter & Son at a 2 metre distance. We didn't recognise each other at first because we were both wearing hazmat suits. But the interesting thing that he's got is he has stock.
Is he making stew?
You really are. You're just obsessing with food. Is this really what you're going to? Oh, I actually want to pull you up on some very suggestive stuff in the last podcast.
Like what?
With Jody, he was really kind of getting a bit stuck into the old Tinder, which I found quite funny.
What did he say? Because I can't remember.
Oh, he was basically suggesting that, you know.
Oh, cyber sex.
That was basically what he was angling
at.
Yeah,
I got that from him. Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. You got that from him, did you?
Yes, I got cyber sex from Jody at Just One More Watch.
So anyway, Simon's got lots of great stuff, but particularly check out the Doxers. Because the Doxers are cool. Doxers just seems like the kind of watch you should be buying during a lockdown. It feels like a lockdown watch.
Cool.
Feels like a kind of surviving
Speaking
watch.
Speaking of surviving, Rick, have you sent any Instagram messages to random celebrities that don't actually read your messages?
I am determined. I wonder if what we should do is just advertise it and just kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. So I'm trying to get Bear Grylls on the show. So I do actually... Sort of, no, we have crossed paths before, So, but I've just tried to reach out to him on Instagram rather than going through the mutual contacts. But I'd really like to get him on the show, particularly to talk about the...
Drinking his own piss?
Yeah, the Luminox watches that he is involved with. I don't know how much of a watch guy he is, or whether he just wears them because somebody pays him to wear them and he helps design them.
I would do that.
On them what he wants. Or whether he is actually also in the background quite interested in what's going on. At the moment, it doesn't appear that he's that interested in what's going on because he's not responding to my messages. But there we go.
He's just not interested in you.
I'd quite like to get... That's true. Maybe we need to get somebody else to message him. Somebody better looking.
Handsome Rob. He's cooped up with his handsome young girlfriend Rob. At the moment.
Let's get Handsome Rob to do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what other watch news are there? Glashütte Original 60s Annual Edition, the 2020 edition.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this? I quite like this. So
no, Rick, because you didn't tell me ahead of time, so I didn't look.
2 years. We'll go and look at it then. I told you what website to go to before we recorded.
That one. Yeah.
So Glashütte Original 60s Annual Edition. They've released. They certainly last year was the Tiger's Eye one, and the one before it, I think, was the green one. I don't know if there was a 2017 version, whether this has been going on for years, but this 2020 is very nice. It's a kind of pale blue chronograph and three-hander. Looks very nice. Quite like the look of that. I quite like Glashütte Original, these ones in particular. They are not cheap. I mean, $6,500 anyway for it. I don't know. Is it a $6,500 watch? It's going to be really interesting to see after all of this how folk revalue what they're doing, because people are just going to be so much more careful and want to have a much larger buffer in their life in terms of, you know, gathering maybe a bit more savings. So how easy it's going to be for somebody to go and say, yeah, I'm going to spend $6,500 on a watch without thinking about it too much. Will be very interesting. The chronograph's about $8,000. What do you think of these?
Yeah, that looks boring. Oh, the font. Oh, that's worse than Comic Sans. Who let their kid design the numerals for this watch?
It's
the 12 doesn't even look like a 12. It looks like half an Omega sign.
It's a Sauron edition. It does look a bit, what do you call it?
Tony Hart.
Lord of the Rings.
Oof, no.
It's a bit Lord of the Rings. You don't like it?
No.
It is certainly duller than the last two editions. The Tiger's Eye from last year was stunning.
Just buy a Moser. Just buy a Moser. I mean, really.
Well, yes, that's true. Spend twice as much money, get 15 times as much watch.
Yeah.
And get to speak to somebody cool like Edward.
Yeah. I mean, see, if you want to buy this, go and buy a... Oh, I'm forgetting the guy's name now. Dan Henry. Go and buy a Dan Henry.
Dan Henry. Yeah, fair enough. So, Swatch... Now, this was trailed on Hodinkee on the 1st of April.
Ah.
And I think there were a few people wondered whether this was Hodinkee's April Fool joke. But I don't think Hodinkee did one this year, other than maybe appearing in our show. But this is Swatch System 51, but with a Petite Seconds on it. I mean, if you're buying a Swatch System 51, do you care if it's got a Petite Second on it? It does look quite nice, actually. £215 probably, that kind of region, $215, according to this article. I don't know. Just watch System 51, 42 mil. It'll be a chunky enough watch, and presumably over the next few months and years this will become...
Just how bad things have got, Rick. Standard. We're actually discussing Swatch System 51s.
Yeah, it's really poor. It's okay, we're coming on to the good stuff in a minute. We're coming on to the good stuff next.
Okay.
Panerai.
Oh,
okay, this is gorgeous. This is the Panerai Radiomir Mediterrano collection. Now, I'm not normally a Radiomir fan. I've got a Luminor. But
is it not Radiomir? As in radiation? Well, radio?
Rad, as in rads, which is the unit of measurement of radiation. They're not rads.
Radio.
Rads.
Radiomir. Radiomir. Radiation. Yes. I don't know. I don't care.
Anyway, this I think might have turned me.
Turned you heterosexual?
Yeah, this okay. is a cool watch. Turn. This has turned me Radiomir. This looks awesome. Blue. There's a Luminor version of this in this kind of.
Did I tell you I've been drinking style. Since 8 a.m?
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Is that why? You do sound slightly happy.
Well, it's not because you're here.
I was putting that down to madness.
Mm-hmm.
rather than actual alcohol.
Quite like Suggs.
Oh, conscience. So Radium is a 42 mil. This is very cool. I like this a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice size.
Maybe you should put it in your pool wall.
Yeah. That bandit pinched my idea. Has he done it again?
Yes, he's done it consistently.
Is he doing it a few
times? Yeah, he's taking the piss out of you, Rick. Go and sort him out. Go and stick the head in him.
Well, it's okay. He's not actually stolen the idea word for word of what we were going to do
with
Adrian and the cats. But it's okay. We'll get our own back. Don't worry about that.
Cool.
So I'm trying to think. It is actually a Radomir that's properly 100 meter water resistant.
You're doing really good, Rick. I'm trying to pull you away from this topic and you're sticking to it. You've got your claws deep in. Well done.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't like about this. That's true. The only thing is because I know how to deal with alcoholics. Mm-hmm. The only thing I don't like about it is this wavy part that they've put on the crystal case back. I mean, why? Don't get it. It's a watery watch, but it just ruins it. Let me see the movement.
Right, okay. So I'm actually going to go and look and see what you're talking about.
Okay, right. Go and actually look at this.
So this is the Mediterraneo?
Mediterraneo. Mediterraneo.
Right, okay. Oh, that is shit looking. You're right. For once, Rick, I agree. The back of that is a mess.
Uh-huh. I don't know why they've done that. It's really odd.
When you buy a fake one, it's even harder to tell if the movement inside is fake or not.
To be fair, it's not like the pattern's particularly advanced.
No.
What I hadn't actually noticed is it's a micro rotor. That is a micro rotor, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, that's cool.
So it doesn't cover up the red. You can't see anything anyway because it's got a stupid bridge in the back.
I know. I don't know why people. I don't know why watch companies put those big bridges like that.
To cover up all the cheese.
It's odd. Yeah, true. Hold on. I'm a bit confused here. There's clearly. Hold on. I've read this. Have I read this wrong? I'm confused. Okay. There is two sizes. So there's a 45, that's better, which is the micro rotor. And then there's a 42, which is a manual wind.
Right. Yes. Okay.
That would appear to be the case. Yes. Right. That makes more sense. Mm-hmm. I understand that now.
Good.
So that's cool. But I'll have the 45 then. But that's very cool. That's awesome looking in the front. I've ruined the back of it. Don't know why. So what else is doing?
Oh, well, there is other news and stuff. We obviously had Jodie on from Just One More Watch because you're really not here. Well, you're not present.
It was the fact that you managed to get him on exactly a year to the date of the last time that he was on, which was quite remarkable.
It's quite remarkable.
Why that was.
Quite funny, but it's not my fault. And he seems to think it's my fault that we have not managed to do things in the past. But we've tried many times and he just disappears. He must be on assignment. Right, he must be one of those spies and he just buggers off. So exactly a year today we had Jodie on and you weren't about because we were recording at midnight and you were obviously downstairs in the basement with, I don't know, chickens and slitting throats and sacrifices and things like that. But no, we had a grand old time, had a good chat about things. He was telling us how the channel's been, what he's been up to, what stuff he's had in. We had a chat about some of the Paganis that he bought, then I bought because of his videos. And it was good. So he was supposed to be coming over to Scotland to see us in person this month, but obviously that is not going to happen. But hopefully he'll be over later in the year and we will catch up with him. But his channel is doing amazingly well. And as you said at the start, another Scottish person in the watch sphere. So if you've not heard that episode, go back and check it. And we have got a video coming out probably. This is getting recorded Monday 13th. Our podcast with Jodie is out today, so I'm not going to shit on that by putting two pieces of content out in one day. But tomorrow, we should have a video with HYT and the Limited Edition coming out.
Oh, right, okay. Is this the one with you and him, or is this the City Diney one? This isn't a talk show, this is just the HYT one.
No, this is just the HYT. So we had Pietro from the Limited Edition up to record a talk show just before shit hit the fan. And we also had him up in the makeshift studio recording smaller videos. And these were supposed to be 5 to 10 minutes and they ended up nearly 20 minutes long each because the watches, I've got so much to talk about. And the first one we're releasing is about the HYT H0. So I'm not going to spoil it for you. All I will say is check it out because the guy knows what he's talking about. talking about. He didn't design the watch, doesn't build them, but he works with the companies, and he's been back and forward to all these different independent brands, Shaken, he's been across to Moser, I believe, and other places, so he knows his chickens. It's a great chat. Video quality is really good, because I just bought some new lenses, some macro lenses and things, plus we've got some info and B-roll from HYT themselves, so that'll be on our YouTube channel and our Facebook group, so join the Facebook group, keep up to date on stuff as well.
Cool. So that's going to be out.
The video will be out by the time you hear this. So the time you hear this, when you're finished to this episode, go check out the YouTube. We'll probably drop it on Instagram as well, or a little clip of it. But it is really good, and the watch was phenomenal. Finding out more about it and how it works. I mean, even I had no clue about half the technology that's in it. Some of it's made by NASA. If you can't sort of get over the fact there's no NASA commemorative edition Apollo 13 watches, then HYT might be the answer.
Cool. I've heard that. I'm just seeing news dropping here to do with Scottish retailers. It says an unnamed source, but it'll be one of three people. It'll either be Chisholm Hunter, Laing's, or Rocks, because I can't think of any other jewellery chains that have nationwide stores that are headquartered in Scotland. So part of this, one of the schemes of relief during coronavirus, to do with premises that pay rates bills, and that for those that aren't in the UK is basically if you own a commercial property, you pay rates to the local authority, and that covers your, in certain cases, covers your water, the fire brigade, the roads, the drainage, all the rest of it. And the government apparently in England grant £25,000 worth of funds for each property, but in Scotland it's £25,000 just for the business as a whole. Now, yeah, I'm not entirely convinced that's true, but basically, so if you're a retailer with premises in England, but you're headquartered in Scotland, you qualify for the Scottish version of the grant, not the English version, even though you've got premises in England. And there are three big companies I can think of that are Scottish-based that, if this is correct, this will impact, and that is Chisholm Hunter, Rocks and Laing's, who are all Scottish HQ but have premises in England. And if this is the way this works out, they'll be at a commercial disadvantage because English, their competitors who are based in the same shopping centres as they are in England, will be getting grants for each premises they run, whereas the companies that are headquartered in Scotland will just get one grant per company.
Ooh.
So if that's correct, you've got the likes of Chisholm Hunter of like 20 odd stores in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Rocks, I think, have 6 or 7. Laing's, I think, have 5, maybe 6 throughout the UK. So if that's true, then that's certainly putting those jewellers at a disadvantage. Though I am going to check this story because I'm not, as someone who has premises in both of these countries, I'm not entirely sure that that's how this works.
Where exactly are your massage parlours?
Well, they're secret.
Oh.
That's the whole point.
Mainly Edinburgh.
That's the whole point of. No, none in Edinburgh. Oh. That you know, that's
for the Albanians still.
That's run by the Albanians.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's an interesting story that's just dropped. But and there are going to be. I mean, I've been speaking to several people online. There are going to be casualties in this. There are going to be casualties in the retail sector. There are going to be casualties in the watch manufacturing sector. There's going to be casualties, most importantly, which no one's really speaking about yet, in both the wholesaling category and the parts manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
So while watch brands might survive, watch brands tend to be a bit like football clubs. They never truly disappear. They might go out of business and then be bought back in. But the guys that
zombies.
Supply...
Zombies. We talk about zombies here.
The guys that supply... did you watch the Scotland... BBC Scotland channel last night had a very famous football match that was being replayed. Do you know what Helicopter Sunday is?
No. Is that ice cream and jelly?
Yes, ice cream and jelly, only not.
Smelling the glove.
All I'm saying is Helicopter Sunday, 6-1, Michael Arteta. People that haven't been focused on is the intermediate manufacturers, so the guys that are making bridges or crystals or stamping cases or straps or buckles or... You know, these guys are really caught in no man's land because it's not like they can sell the stuff to somebody else. They can't suddenly decide, oh, well, let's trade more online. And then equally, the wholesalers, there are a number of people in Europe who represent smaller brands, and they might have a stable of 7 or 8 small brands, and they'll trade them and move them on. And these people have also got to be suffering because they've got no direct outlet. They're not a shop that can just close up and claim off the government furlough wages. Mm-hmm. They're not a manufacturer that can just try and bide it out. They're really stuck right in the middle. So I imagine this will really shake up the industry. And I think it'll also change a number of strategies that watch brands are having. Although I did hear an interesting interview with my favourite person, whose name I can't pronounce, from AP, the chief executive of AP, gave a really interesting interview with the guy from Auster Watches, who I think that's the Keeping Time podcast. Go and listen to that. That's quite an interesting interview. They're saying how they're basically paying everybody, you know, they can batten down the hatches, they can survive a long time, which I think is quite interesting considering that they're one of the companies that went into their own kind of bricks and mortar, running their own shops and retail outlets, so that when they close, they have the overhead of that standing. Unlike Rolex, who when they shut up shop, they just close the factory and all the ADs just have to whistle for it until such times as they decide to reopen. So that was an interesting interview. Go and check that one out.
Oh, you done?
I'm done.
Oh, cool. Right, good. I was waiting for it to be done. Because there's not a lot of news or much to talk about, I'm actually letting you talk shite for minutes.
All right, okay, that's fine.
So thanks for that quarter of an hour update. So I posted on our Instagram, which you obviously didn't check before you messaged me to say, are you awake? Because I had been posting on the Instagram half an hour before that. So yes, that's awake. I posted up on Instagram saying, doing a show, anything you guys want us to talk about, because news is a little bit thin on the ground, a bit like hair on our heads. And we got some replies. So the first one was, instead of replying to the actual post, somebody DM'd us, so well done, Brainiac. So Domo Drums said, do you think the global Red Bar meetup will still happen? Sorry if it's already been answered. And you replied to him, but I didn't really read what you replied because that doesn't count. I think it still will, because that is, what, August, September time? And we should be back in the swing of things. Things should, I mean, if all these jet companies are talking about 16th of June is when they're starting flights back out of the country, you know, I think August, September time, we should probably be okay.
Yeah, not convinced. I think something will happen. I think the other thing is, it's fairly straightforward for Red Bar to push it back, would be my guess. Because it's not venue specific, in that they're not, I think the one they had in New York was in quite a central location, whereas I think the one they're planning for London, they're kind of dotting it around the place because there's so many good venues there. And I think they're also going to use quite a lot of the ADs as locations for one thing or another. So I think actually they're probably fairly, it's probably more straightforward than many events to actually move it. So if they needed to move it to November, they probably could without too much difficulty. Hopefully they don't.
Apart from all the people that have booked flights to actually go.
Well, I'm not sure how that will work. Airlines are going to have to be quite cooperative to people, because even if they start removing restrictions, a lot of people are still going to be very nervous about travelling. Yeah. I mean, people who've got medical conditions, you know, this is going to rumble. I mean, I saw today China, an update from China saying that their outbreak has now gone up again. So they are now, looks like they might be starting to climb a second wave.
Oh, well, I'm going to interject a little bit there. As much as I've been taking the piss out of all the conspiracy guys out there, there was a really good video on YouTube, which you should put in the show notes, with Vice Motherboard. No, it's just Vice, the guys that run Motherboard, and Edward Snowden. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about, are China talking shit? Yes, China are talking shit. China never tell you the truth. But they were saying about the different waves. So you're going to have this bounce up, then it's going to come down, then people are going to mix a little bit, then it's going to go up again, but it's like ripples in the water. When you throw a stone, they'll get smaller and smaller and smaller, hopefully, as things go along.
Yes, I think I said that 4 weeks ago.
No.
So me and Edward, tight bond. I think that is what's going to happen, although there does seem to be some other interesting news, which is starting, I'm not quite sure the veracity of it, that actually the immunity that's offered by catching it might not be quite as strong as everybody'd hoped. Mm. So actually the ability to re-catch might be higher than was hoped, but we'll see how that washes itself. So to answer the question, will Red Bar happen? Yes, I think it will. Will it happen at the dates currently advertised? I would say there might be some movement on that, would be my guess.
Well, I say yes, so that's fine. Next one.
Okay, cool.
Right, next one is from ENSOFDB. thoughts on okay. the Carte Tank Basculante?
Carte Tank de Carte. I don't know how to spell the last
part. Basculante. B-A-S-C-U-L-A-N-T-E.
B
for bollocks.
B of bascule.
Holy f***.
All right.
Well, while Rick Googles the shit out of this, what do I think of it? I'm not a dress watch kind of guy, in case you hadn't picked up on that. But if I was given the option of this or the Reverso or a Tank or a Santos or something like that, this would be last on my list, because the photo I'm looking at of this little guy here, it looks like, I don't know, Russian dolls. It's a watch inside a watch. So not for me. Rick, what do you think?
Okay, I do know the watch you mean. Right, okay, so what's cool about this watch is, for those of you that are familiar, with the other one, the Reverso, is this flips the other way around. Okay, so this goes vertically, whereas the
Reverso goes sideways.
The Reverso goes sideways.
Come on, Rick, play the game.
Don't you love the detail, the attention to detail in this show?
Is this the Scottish Watches department?
The Scottish Watches. The Basculante is actually, it's a cooler mechanism.
It looks like an ironing board.
It is a bit ironing board-like.
But a deck chair.
But it does mean that the bezel, as you say, effectively has... Yeah, if you don't know how to use a deck chair properly...
Don't buy this.
Buy the Reverso.
Yep.
This is the GLC? This is the Carte deck chair.
Jesus Christ. Have you had a drink as well?
It is quite... I probably should start. This would be the time to start. So because of the mechanism, it means that it does have a much thicker... it does look like a picture. It looks like the watch is framed and then framed again. It looks like it's double mounted.
The question was, what are your thoughts on it?
That's my thoughts.
Perfect.
My thoughts are that
it's a deck chair watch. Perfect. I love it. Yeah. Next, King Flum asks, can we have some data-driven analysis on watch prices in the current market?
Actually, yes. I will put together, because I do have all this information, I will actually try and put together an article this week on
what
has genuinely happened to watch prices in the last year. Because I do monitor them in the background. I've got a big list of the market movements. So I'll see if I can put that together. And actually, let's see whether... the Batman really has reduced all that.
No, it hasn't, right. I'll tell you how this works. The way to figure this shit out is to go into Google and type in Watch Finder Space BLNR, press enter, and then have a look at the prices and compare them to what they were a couple of months ago. And looking here, we can have a five-year-old BLNR, so that is, 2014, and that's currently sitting at 14 grand. So that hasn't really shifted much. Or you can have one that's 6 years old for 13 grand, you can have one that's 1 year old for 15 grand. The only thing that seems to have taken a bit of a tumble, and they're not actually listing any here, is the Batgirl. So that is the way that I take a look at things. Now, obviously, Watchfinder aren't the be-all and end-all, and as people have pointed out in our group that we have mentioned before, they are quite interesting the way that they'll advertise one of these watches for 15k online, but if you try and sell them a brand new one, they'll offer you 4 grand. So that is...
It's called making money,
and I hope it's a comfy pillow they use. So, yep, that is the way that I look at things, Mr. King Flum, and what do you think?
There's definitely some watch price.
I think it's a buyer's market right now.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if it is a buyer's market. The problem with the buyer's market is that anyone who is a serious buyer that thinks it's a buyer's market is always tempted to say, well, prices come down. Maybe it'll come down a bit more tomorrow. And that's the problem with luxury goods that nobody really needs, is once you get into a buyer's market, it starts to self-sustain. It starts to roll, because everyone who's a buyer goes, well, came down 100 quid in a week. If I wait till next week, it'll come down another 100 quid. And so they do, and so it does, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And these things can get really, really nasty, especially in these sorts of goods.
Anyway, next. favourite cars from Dan. Oh, that's an interesting one. So I'm going to take this so you can shut up, because all you're going to mention is Massey Ferguson tractors. I like Tesla.
That's going to get you the sort of hate saying that you like...
And Quartz.
Apple Watches is going to get you.
No, I like Tesla for a couple of reasons. One of them is I had a shot of the P90 DL with ludicrous mode. When was it? 4 years ago when they first came out. And it had the automatic driving stuff that allegedly doesn't exist, doesn't work, and you can't use. I had this thing driving itself around Edinburgh City Centre. And then I took it up to Ingolston and raced it around the track and did lots of ludicrous mode launches. So I love that thing. Mm-hmm. Other cars I like, there's so many of them.
I see they've updated their software over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
So they've updated the software at Tesla so that you can do more starts. And they've introduced what's called cheetah mode. So they've adjusted the way the battery works so that it doesn't overheat quite as quickly.
That's amazing that you can do that in software.
Interesting factoid.
Nice, thank you. Other cars I like Porsche, old classics that I like, older Skylines, older Evos. There's just so many because I used to work in the car industry. It's quite a tricky one to answer because there are just so many nice cars. I always wanted a Ford Capri because was a car that I saw bobbing around when I was, a lot younger. Try to think other cars. Cars that got away. Never got myself a Toyota Supra twin turbo. Wanted one but never really got one. Got an MR2.
You do really have a bit of a history of hairdresser cars there, an MR2 and a Boxster.
Well, this is
that's
the thing.
Interesting.
It is interesting, but I mean, for all the hairdressers that I've pummeled, none of them have owned Boxsters or MR2s, and they don't make that much money.
It's quite simple.
It's usually Fiat 500s or wee Corsas or Audi A1s, things like that.
If you want to put a couple of classic cars in your garage, it's simple. You get yourself a lemon yellow Volvo T5R and a British Racing Green V12 XGS with brown soft top. Sorted.
That it?
It's a two-car collection. That's it. That's all you need.
How about a Noble M12?
A Noble M12? That's a bit of a left field.
No, I had a shot of one of those. They were nice. Mondeo engine tuned up a bit. It had, I think it was Mondeo backlights on it as well. Lotus Esprit Turbo.
I'd maybe add a Lotus Carlton to that garage.
Be quite good.
Yeah.
You know what we could do? We could just get the guys from thecarguys.tv and get them on a show. Because we did a video kind of with them. We need to get them on.
Scottish watches, washes, car watches.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could get them involved in something. We did a podcast with one of those guys. It'd be good to get both of them on because that was a good few months back. And maybe even get a talk show organised once we're able to sit within 2 metres of people because they would have a lot of good stuff.
We're going to need like 5 cameras for the next talk show because everyone's going to have to sit 2 metres apart.
I know. Wider angle lenses.
That's what we should do for the next Red Bar event. What we should do is in that room, we should get them to paint boxes on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be like a big game of chess. So you're only allowed to stand in a box and each box is 2 metres apart. Mm-hmm. And you have to kind of move around. And depending on what kind of watch you own, depends on whether you're a pawn or a knight or a king or a queen. So the queens, there's a game we could play. So if you turn up with G-Shocks or micro brands, then you've got a pawn and you can only move forward and backwards and get knocked out.
Great.
If you turn up with what would be a queen watch? I don't know.
Seiko
5. Turn up with a Zenith Inventor, then you can move in any direction you like.
Okay, next question, because we're running out of time here. What brands you won't miss when they are gone? From Scaramanga. Funnily enough, talking about Bond.
Yes.
Brands.
We bring the whole show in.
Which brands do we hate?
Who do you want to really struggle?
I don't know any brands I'd want rid of. Human aspect of the workers that would lose jobs and whatnot.
Yeah.
Brands that I would actually not want to see anymore. There's Genault, Steinhardt maybe. they offer nothing good.
I can't think of anyone that I would say. Is there any brand I'm just like, I just simply don't get it and don't like any of them?
I'll leave that thought with you. And Smitty28, are ADs struggling to stay afloat during the CV crisis? Watches of Switzerland are asking waitlist customers to pay upfront for steel Rolex models, which they may get once stores open.
Okay, well, there's an easy way of answering that question because they've not got any shops open.
Mm.
So the only way they could be doing that is online.
Or phoning. You know what we could do? We could just start randomly phoning numbers. Random numbers. And saying, hello, this is Watch of Switzerland. Your Rolex has come in. Can you give me your credit card details?
That sounds like a good plan.
Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Okay. Mr. No Date asks, socks or undies first? Well, I don't wear undies because I'm always ready. So socks for me.
I think what's more important is, do you zip and button or do you button and zip?
I Velcro.
Velcro. You've got your Prince Albert chain dangling, is that what we're saying?
Now, how do you know about things like that?
What do you mean? It's a historical thing. It's history.
What's it for?
What's it for? you know, fine, well, sorry, you're just going to try and make me say stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll put it in the show notes.
You put it in the show notes then. That's fine. So on that amazingly low point of the show, I think we are going to round things up. So since you've not been here for a while, Rick, do the close out.
Yeah, so go and have a look at all our stuff. So
it's great. Account. Thank you for that. check out all the stuffs.
You need to go to @ScottishWatches on Instagram. Now, quite important, we are heading towards the 10,000 mark. We'd really appreciate it if
you would all go. Can we get like a Blue Peter totalizer in your bedroom and we can just have a webcam on it?
Well, what I was going to say, could we just ask all of our viewers now, because there's only 10 of you, you're going to need to do about 100 accounts each. But if you could all just go and make an extra Instagram account for us and just follow Scottish Watches, we look forward to seeing all of those accounts that follow nobody but us suddenly appearing. And then
sounds
Instagram
like a covert op to me.
So we're close to 10,000, and once we get to 10,000, we unlock the super duper stuff in Instagram. So it's quite important. So it'd be really handy if we could get there quite quick.
If we get to 10,000, we'll give every one of you guys free Scottish Watches premium accounts.
Yes, yes, we'll let you onto the, what's that thing called?
Pornhub.
No. But it's something to do with that, the paid... onto the Scottish Watches OnlyFans account.
Rick, where are you getting all this from? You've turned over a new leaf.
It was a headline on the BBC. It was a headline on the front page of BBC News a few days ago.
What was it saying?
It was just talking about, because I didn't realise it's owned by a British guy, set it up.
Right. No, what was it saying about it though?
So, it was introducing I think there's a TV show about it.
Well, that's interesting because I know a girl that was very against OnlyFans and used to take the piss out of people, but the fact that she's now at home and can't work any longer in the solicitors means she's putting videos up of her f***ing herself. So there you go.
Okay, please delete that bit. Please just edit. Edit that. That's not good.
Okay.
That goes nowhere good. You don't want Hublot, who we're obviously trying to get all. Hublot, there's who we wouldn't miss.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, so she's been doing wrist shots on OnlyFans. Let's just say that.
Right,
that's us, we're done.
Go and check out Instagram, YouTube, Facebook group. Go to the Facebook group. It's very, very funny and very, very good. Even if we do say so ourselves. And also register to the Scottish Watches podcast site on YouTube, as well as the Scottish Watches. There are two channels. Register to the podcast site as well. So, to finish, goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from Cactus Jack Cola Cube Alcohol.
Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah.